So let's turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. We're going to move ahead a little bit. Let's go to verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town." Location, location, location. You sometimes hear that word being repeated, emphasized like that. Usually it's in connection with property values or house prices, that kind of thing. But it's also an important principle to keep in mind when studying Bible texts and Bible passages and certain events and miracles. Location, location, location. Like this one, where is this particular miracle in the Gospel of Mark? Where does it take place? This particular miracle, the healing of the blind man, takes place pretty much slap bang in the middle of the book. So it's pointing us backwards, but also it's pointing us forwards as well. It's pointing us back, helping us to understand some of the things that Jesus has already done and the way he's already begun to open his disciples' eyes to spiritual truth. But also it's pointing us forward as well to show us what he's going to do, how he's going to improve their vision. He's going to progressively open their eyes to more truth so they can understand more about him and more about themselves. So it's an important miracle, this one. It's often overlooked, and yet it's full of spiritual instruction and help about our condition in this world and about how the Lord deals with us in granting his people not only sight, but also progressively improving measures of sight and understanding into spiritual things. So this is what we want to do this evening. It's a kind of a spiritual ophthalmology lesson, we could call it, looking at this whole subject of seeing men as trees walking here in verses 22 to 26 of Mark 8. There are three headings for these verses. We're just going to focus in on one this evening, and that is the leading hand, Jesus' leading hand here. He came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. The leading hand. Let's just remind ourselves what's been going on. Our Lord here has arrived in this town of Bethsaida. That's a little fishing village on the shores of Lake Galilee. He and his disciples, they come into the town there. And as soon as he does so, verse 22 says, they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So clearly the people, they recognize Jesus immediately. His fame at this particular point has gone ahead of him. The feeding of the 5,000 had already taken place in a region not very far from here. And so probably the attention, the commotion that was caused by something like that, Jesus is now a very well-known figure in that region. So as soon as he steps out of the boat there onto the shore, word about him immediately spreads around. It's the sort of the grapevine effect starting to kick in. People are talking about him. This man, Jesus, has come into town. So the people, they want to find him, they want to see him, they want to hear him. And also, having heard something of his amazing power, they want to bring their sick friends to him as well. And that's what we have there in verse 22. A group of friends whose concern is for a blind man. So this is a blind friend of theirs, a man who has perhaps suffered with this disability for many years, maybe even from his youth. We don't know. We're not actually given all of those details. But now his friends, hearing that Jesus has come into town, they realize this is their chance. This is their opportunity to do something, to bring the man to him. And so that's what we see here. They come to him, they plead with him, they begged him, it says. It's a very strong word. That's an earnest, fervent, importunate pleading, begging Jesus to have mercy on this man and to heal him. Lord, please, they say, we're begging you. Lord, please, have mercy on this friend of ours. Lord, if you could just lay a hand on this man, we know he would be well. It's that sort of thing. They're pleading here with Jesus. To which our Lord, what does he do here? How does he respond? It's interesting what he does here, isn't it? It says he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. So that's out of Bethsaida. He took him out of the town. Why? Why was that? Why did he do something like that? Why does he take him out of Bethsaida? Was this an act of judgment on the town of Bethsaida? Some have suggested that. That just as Jesus told those unbelieving Pharisees that no more signs would be given to them, so also the town of Bethsaida. Do you remember what Luke says in Luke 10? Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. They'd already had mighty signs, mighty works, but they hadn't repented. And so was this a sign now of judgment on them? No more mighty works done there for them to see? Could be. Some have suggested that. But then also it could be to demonstrate the diversity and the variety in the ways that Jesus employs his saving power. And what we mean by that is as we go through the Gospels, we find a number of blind people being healed. And one of the interesting things to note is how there's something different and unique about each one. This man, for example, is brought here by his friends, and he seems to be, in this particular situation, he seems to be something of a fairly passive recipient here. It's the friends here, isn't it? The friends are the ones doing the pleading in this situation. But then there are others, the blind beggars, for example. When they find Jesus, they're crying out themselves, aren't they, with great fervour and with great passion, so much so the crowd around them said, be quiet, leave him alone. That only causes them to cry out even louder. Or there's the man born blind in John chapter 7, and Jesus just came up to him and uninvited put some clay into his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and he went and washed, it says, and came back seeing. And so we can see, can't we, that there's a diversity in the application of Jesus' saving power. He heals a variety of blind people in a variety of different ways. Which teaches us something, doesn't it? It teaches us that we're wrong to try and standardise or homogenise the whole process of conversion. We can't limit, we can't straitjacket God to one particular method and say that God will only save a person in this particular way. That you can only become a Christian if you come to this church. You can only become a Christian if you listen to this preacher, or you go through this five-step plan, or if you do this, or if you do that. That's what makes a real Christian. No, we can't box it off like that. There isn't no sort of neat cookie-cutter formula for making Christians like that. Jesus isn't bound. Jesus isn't shackled in that way. The wind blows wherever it will. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit of God. You can't tell God what method, at what time, what manner he ought to save someone. He's sovereign over all of these things. And we don't know. We can't legislate. We can't make our own prescription for how these things ought to take place. So we can see that. That's a lesson we can learn here. Also, another thing we can see here is how often when Jesus is about to do a work of spiritual healing in someone's life, he often does what he does here. That is, he takes them to one side. He removes them far away from the crowd. As we see here, it says he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. If you remember, a few weeks back, we looked at the healing of the deaf man in chapter 7. He did the same thing there. Took him away on his own, away from the people, away from the crowd, away from all the distractions, in order to establish personal contact. And also to remove him away from all the pressures, all the distraction, maybe the ridicule of the people around. And sometimes Jesus does that in the run-up to a person's conversion. He first of all takes them to one side, as it were. He takes them out of the town, if we can put it like that, away from the crowds, away from the normal pressures and influences, in order to meet with him and have real personal heart dealings with Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a young person, for example, going away for a week on a Christian camp, away from the crowd, away for a time from the usual pressures of peer group and friends. Or maybe it's a season of sickness, being laid aside on a sick bed, or maybe lying in hospital, or at home recovering from a surgery, away from the usual distractions, the busyness of the world, so that all of a sudden that person starts to hear now, in the silence, in the seclusion, they start to hear that still, quiet voice of the soul. They start to hear the conscience, troubled, agitated. They can hear it now. They're away from all the noise. I remember in my own life, leaving home, going quite a way away, getting on a ferry, going across the North Sea, going from Norfolk in England across to Holland, and then getting a train and going up to Utrecht, doing some studies in Utrecht in the Netherlands. Long way from home. And one afternoon in March 1992, sitting in this lonely apartment on a housing estate in Utrecht, all alone, and reading a sermon by Jonathan Edwards. And there, for the first time in my life, really feeling, sensing the fear of God and feeling my utter lostness, knowing there in that moment how utterly, hopelessly lost I was. That's often how he works. He takes us away from the crowd. Maybe he's doing that in your life right now, ordering providence for you right now in such a way some of those former friendships, perhaps distracting, debilitating, hindering friendship ties are being broken so that now you can really draw near to him. Or maybe he's saying to you this evening that this is what you need to do in order to truly meet with Jesus Christ and to be healed by him. You need to do this. You need to get alone with him. You spent too much time with the wrong crowd, the wrong kind of people. They're not helping you spiritually. They're distracting you spiritually. You need to come away from them. They're not going to be with you on Judgment Day. All those friends, they're not going to be standing there with you on Judgment Day. You will be alone before God on that day. Don't worry about the crowd. Leave behind the crowd. Get alone with Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Christ. Put your hand in his, if we can put it like that. That's what we see here, don't we? He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. You see what's happening here? He's establishing trust with that man there, isn't he? Takes him by the hand and leads him. I don't know if you've ever done that with a blind person. Have you ever helped a blind person to navigate a difficult area? We're in Manhattan a couple of years ago, and we were at this very busy intersection, and there was a blind man just standing not far away from me, and he asked me if I'd help him to go across this intersection. I said, yeah, sure. And he came and he just held my arm, and I walked him across this intersection. And that's what Jesus does here for this man. He takes his hand, he's saying to him, by holding his hand, he's saying, you can trust me. Follow me. I will lead you. I will lead you safely. You can imagine it in your mind's eye, can't you? They're going along. He's saying, mind up. There's a bump there. We're just going to go around that. Or there's a tree stump here. We're just going to go to the right of this and we're going to walk around. For 1 or 2 miles, Jesus is holding this man by the hand. He's establishing trust with him. And that's what faith is, isn't it? Simply putting your trust in Jesus Christ. It's saying, Lord, I'm helpless and blind. Lead me. I'm putting my hand into yours. Guide me. Lead me through life. Have you done that? Have you come to him in that way? In prayer, simply come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I need you to save me. I need you to wash away all my sins and lead and guide me through life. That's faith. That's all it is. It's that at the beginning. And really, it's that throughout the Christian life. Every day, coming to him in that way. Maybe at the moment you're in a difficult place. Perhaps in your life right now, you're in a very difficult spot and you say, I don't know what's going on. I do not know what's happening right now. Well, what do? You say, Lord, I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. That's what he's doing. Jesus has you by the hand. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He will help you. He knows the way. Isaiah 42, verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make the darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. So this is the life of faith. It's putting your hand into his and following him and continuing every day to follow him. All the way my Saviour leads me. What have I to fear beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?